But we'll stay on COVID now. Professor Sam McConkie, infectious disease specialist with the RCSI University of Medicine and Health Sciences, joins us. Sam, restrictions look like they're on the way. It could be level 4, it could be level 5 or a combo. How do you feel about all of that?
I think we do need decisive action at this stage, Ciara, to prevent the ongoing continued growth of coronavirus in our country. Not just restrictions, but also what I would call visionary leadership that lets everyone know that we're heading slowly but steadily towards a problematic position, and also local leadership. So private individuals, business owners, sports leaders take a role in helping to influence the people around them to change their behaviour.
Okay. And what about if, and we heard from Paul Moyna on Friday, but more people are talking about the seasonality of coronavirus. What if we are just moving into the corona season, that it's winter, that the virus is going to spread effectively? What if we go into these increased restrictions, level 4, level 5, and we're 2, 3, 4 weeks in and no difference has been made to the numbers? Do we just stay like that? Do we just live like that for the winter?
I think that's a problem, because we're heading towards gradually escalating number of deaths. And while obviously as public policy, tolerating 1,000 coronavirus asymptomatic cases is acceptable public policy, but tolerating, you know, 10 deaths a day or 20 deaths a day each day all the way through 6 months of the year is not a reasonable public policy for any government to follow.
And no one wants to see that, obviously. But were that to happen, if it was to avoid the 10 deaths a day or the 20 deaths a day, is closing down society as we know it in total an acceptable solution to that, do you think?
I think we hopefully won't be. The trick is not to close it down in total. I think that's not what certainly I hope happens. There's obviously essential businesses really have to keep going. Obviously, we've made great efforts to get our schools up and running again, and hopefully they can continue. And hopefully a lot of other businesses can modify how they do things to make them safe so there are no ongoing outbreaks.
Is there a degree of naivety there? I mean, we'll be talking to the TUI very shortly this morning, who are getting quite angsty, as all the teachers' unions are, about schools being open if everything else is closed. Are we a little naive about thinking that everyone, you know, just because the government says you stay open, you're an essential service, that they will do so, with this culture of fear that people are afraid now at this stage?
I think in the health service, where, you know, we were faced with a lot of close contact with people with COVID-19 in March, April, very, very few people voluntarily absented themselves from work, and most of those had very severe immunocapacitating conditions. So the teachers certainly are anxious, or some teachers are anxious. I think there's a lot of variability, and certainly some of the cases in schools have been in teachers, but that doesn't of course mean that the teachers caught it in school, and it doesn't mean that the children were spreading it from one to another in the school. So I think there's a need for perhaps structural change, Ciara. Many of the schools that we have are unfortunately very old buildings. The classrooms are very large, a large number of children in a small space. Maybe they don't have adequate toilet facilities for each classroom, maybe don't have separate entrance doors. So I think we really have to re-envisage how we do education, to have much smaller classes and a better teacher to pupil ratio, more access to hand washing, access
that,
to toilet.
That won't be achieved anytime soon.
I think that's what we should be doing, and that could actually improve our education. So that's not a destructive thing in any way to our future. That's actually building a better educational system. So I think the teachers have very many appropriate and reasonable issues, but a lot of it is due to overclass size and lack of education and physical infrastructure for schools in Ireland over the last 15 or 20 years.
I know we're talking about the climbing case numbers, and you know, we are seeing over 1,000 a day now, 1,200, those types of figures. And we've seen in the first 2 weeks of October, for example, we have seen 10,000 cases more or less occur. But the ICU numbers, Sam, have been stable during that time. They're 31, and there have been admissions and there have been discharges from ICU, and they have remained stable. Can you explain that? I know there's a lag, but we are weeks into climbing cases at this stage and they remain stable.
The benchmark I would put them against is June, July and August and September. And unfortunately, they're not stable when you look at it over the 4 month period. Back in June and July, there were almost nobody in there. And now we're seeing
back in April and March, there was 150 plus in there.
And because of the effective control we had in April and March, then we went down to almost or minimal number of cases and nobody coming in June and July. So I think it's
Are
we've
you
been.
and I don't mean to put you under pressure, but are you discounting entirely the potential for seasonality here? Because that, you know, we are hearing people talking about that now, that perhaps we were high in spring, low in summer, we'll be high in winter again, and nothing we do will make much difference.
When I look around the world at other countries that are very hot or very cold and different seasons from us, it hasn't made a huge difference, unfortunately.
Okay.
So I'm quite pessimistic that coronavirus will change very much. What will change is we might be hit by a flu season. So certainly other respiratory viruses do happen more in the wintertime. There's a very distinct seasonality to it. So the rest of our healthcare, if you like, has definite seasonality. But in China, where there's, you know, tropical parts and cold parts, it happened fairly widely. And, you know, places like Singapore that were hot, it happened. So I'm not confident that we'll see
Okay.
a lot of
And can I
seasonality to this.
ask you a last question, Sam, with regard to criteria for our restrictions? Other countries like Germany and Spain have brought in a set of criteria that have to occur for full lockdowns, like we're moving towards, to be brought in. So, for example, in Spain, an infectivity rate of 10%, ICU capacity occupied by 35% corona patients, 500 per 100,000 infectivity. We're nowhere near those figures currently in Ireland, yet we're still doing this. Do we have a criteria, do you believe, here, or is it more nebulous than that? We get a feeling in NPHET, or we get a feeling at public health level that we're moving in the wrong direction and we just go for it. Would you like to see criteria, or why are we different?
I think we have to be careful about the use of the word lockdown. In Spain, when they said lockdown, they meant curfew day and night and only out of your house to do essential shopping. So they mean something completely different from lockdown. So it's a very vague word that's meant by different people in very different contexts. I think the issue with criteria is that there's several different factors. There is, as we discussed earlier, rate of ICU bed occupancy, there's death rate, there's outbreaks and our ability to control outbreaks in nursing homes or factories or, you know, even for example, schools or domestic homes. So there are about 8 or 10 different factors that we have to consider, and they are, of course, interlinked, but not in a mechanical fixed way. So I don't think it's possible to take just one number and say when our cases reach, you know, 2,000, we should do X, because there's a wide
Interestingly, in
range of
Spain,
considerations.
they don't use cases. They use other criteria, as I say, like infection rates, like rates per population. It isn't case numbers at all.
Exactly. No, I agree. I think it also depends on our capacity to control the outbreaks. What I feel we need now is to build a world-class, what I would call, disease control system, so we can not just identify cases, but also identify outbreaks, and then have specialists in outbreak control to go to the sites where the outbreaks have happened to do a deep clean, to instruct and teach and review the processes there to fix them, so the outbreaks stop and don't come back again. And we've seen that, of course, in meat plants and other factories. But unfortunately, we're having more than 100 outbreaks a day, and it's not clear to me that our systems of outbreak control are able to keep up with 100 outbreaks a day, able to interact with the
Yeah.
people.
Yeah.
I hear stories, a lot of people are saying nobody can talk to us. We've got loads of questions, and nobody's available to answer our questions. So we need that capacity to
Okay.
manage outbreaks well and to reassure people where outbreaks have occurred that they have the access to information rapidly of how to stop the
Okay.
outbreak spreading.
Professor Sam McConkie, infectious disease specialist with the RCSI University of Medicine and Health Science. Thank you for that indeed.
Spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Super Light Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. They've designed must-have travel styles for when you need to jet. The lighter-than-air feel and barely there fit makes these shoes some of the most packable styles ever. That means more comfort and less baggage. Take the Super Light Tree Runner on your next adventure. Its cushy, lightweight foam midsole supports every step, and the extra outsole traction gives you the grip to just go for it. The eucalyptus fiber upper adds next-level breathability to keep you going all day. Plus, the Super Light Tree Runner is comfortable and ready to go right out of the box. So, what can you do in a super light shoe? What can't you do is the better question. And because they're super packable, the real question is, where are you taking them? Experience how Allbirds redefines comfort. Visit allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's ALLBIRDS.com, code SUPER24.